The Senate will be in order. The prayer today will be offered by the Senator Johnson from Buchanan County. Following the prayer, the Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Sam Wilson of Carlisle.
If your hearts and minds are up for prayer, please pray with me. Grace and peace to all. Lord Jesus, your strength and wisdom guide our actions in so many ways. When the ways of this world conflict with your teachings and we find ourselves in opposition with each other, may we turn to you and your loving ways. In Isaiah chapter 57, verses 18 to 19, we read, "I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. I will guide them and restore comfort to Israel's mourners, creating praise on their lips. Peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them." In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Are there corrections to the journal? Hearing none, the journal is approved as printed. Are there senators to be excused? There is business in the world. The secretary will read.
Mr. President, the House has on March 23rd, 2021, passed the following bills. House Bill 419, a bill for non-aligned counties to collect a fee for the issuance of renewal driver's license, non-operated driver's cards to persons who reside outside the county. House Bill 586, a bill for narcotic development and utilization of high-speed electronic transmission mediums. House Bill 710, a bill for narcotic child endangerment committed by sex offender providing penalties. House Bill 728, a bill for narcotic non-compliance for rules adopted by county sanitation regarding septic tank pumping. House Bill 753, a bill for narcotic unintentionally causing death by a person of operating a motor vehicle in excessive speed, providing penalties, making penalties applicable. House Bill 775, a bill for not considering authorized entry or access, including placement of the use of camera and electronic surveillance device while trespassing, unauthorized gathering sample materials relating to animal feeding operations, providing penalties. House Bill 821, a bill for not creating civil action and harassment, reporting false constitutional law enforcement. House Bill 828, a bill for not granting commercial driver's license, driving skill test for any fees, including effective date revisions.
Are there any senators seeking the floor for announcements or introductions? For what purpose does the senator from Buchanan, Senator Zumbaugh, seek the floor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Delaware, but thank you. This isn't scripted, and I probably should be, because there's probably a very prudent set of words that should be used this morning, but I don't have them, so I'm just going to pull them out of my heart. We had a horrible tragedy in my district 23 hours ago. The little sleepy, hilly town of Anamosa is in mourning beyond what I can describe. Two of our public servants were murdered yesterday in the reformatory. Stealing some of Senator Hoag's words, they're a really bad dude, a really bad dude. Anamosa is a family-friendly town. The majority of the folks that work in the reformatory are from the general area. I personally have family that works there. I have friends that work there, and I'm sure many of you could also fall into that category. We're having a good day in this Senate chamber. None of us are carrying the burdens that the folks in Anamosa are carrying today. I ask, as you do the state's work today, remember those that are not able to do the state's work today and keep their families in your prayer. God bless all of us and the families from Anamosa. Thank you.
For what purpose does the Senator from Muscatine, Senator Lofgren, seek the floor?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm in order for an announcement.
You are in order.
Thank you. Many of you know that my wife, Paula, is my clerk. Of course, you don't see much of her because she's back at the cubicle, so sometimes she runs in here. But today is her birthday, so please wish her a happy birthday if you see her on the Capitol.
I hope you have a wonderful day. For what purpose does the Senator from Johnson, Senator King, seek the floor?
For an introduction, Mr.
You're in order.
I brought my son with me today. He is back from Florida. We had our funeral for my father-in-law this week, and I would really like to thank everyone here for all the kind words, for sending flowers, coming to the visitation, and just all the emails that I have gotten. Senator Brown, you know, talked about it a couple weeks ago, and it was just so great to hear from everyone. Thank you.
First, let me say, Senator Kinney, we're so sorry about your loss. And we want to also tell your son what a pleasure it is to have you on the floor, and you should be very proud of your dad. For what purpose does a senator from Iowa, Senator Driscoll, cede the floor?
Thank you, Mr. President. And am I in order for an introduction?
You are in order.
I would also like to introduce my son, Andy. He is here today for his government class. He is a sophomore at Williamsburg and here to spend the day and see what goes on the Senate floor. So thank you.
I had the opportunity to speak with him briefly this morning. You've done a very good job, Mom. And thank you for sharing your mother with us in this Capitol, and she is a blessing as well to the Senate. Are there any senators seeking the floor for personal points? Excuse me. Can you tell me your intention for speaking or seeking the floor, Senator Bolton? You are in order for a personal point.
Thank you. I want to make a quick personal point as well as an announcement. We're in March Madness right now, and I think all of us have enjoyed watching some of our Iowa athletes perform and compete at a very high level. Just yesterday, we were able to enjoy the performance of Caitlin Clark, who went out there and represented our state with pride and scored more points than the entire University of Kentucky women's basketball team in the first half. That's an incredible accomplishment that we should be celebrating. We saw the Drake basketball team. I actually went out there and personally went to Indiana and saw Drake basketball win its first men's basketball game in 50 years in the NCAA tournament. We saw Luca Garza and Jordan Bohannon and the Iowa Hawkeyes represent themselves well in the NCAA tournament, winning and advancing into the second round of the tournament. We've seen the University of Northern Iowa go to the women's NIT Final Four this year. We should all be very proud of the performances our student athletes, our college athletes, that are putting on the jerseys that say Northern Iowa, that say Drake, that say Hawkeyes on them, are doing as they represent our state and our institutions of higher learning. But we also should be paying attention to what's happening with those student athletes. Because with all those celebrations of achievements and accomplishments, there are some things that are troubling in college athletics right now. We saw exposed the inequities of women's college basketball, as we saw the difference between the men's weight room and facilities provided and a few pieces of weightlifting equipment provided for women. The NCAA embarrassed itself once again because it was caught red-handed, not paying attention to the needs of student athletes, and in this case, particularly women athletes who were put at an extreme disadvantage despite their performances. We can celebrate Caitlin Clark and the things she does on the court to represent our state, but also we have to recognize the obstacles she faces in performing, in achieving those goals, in making those performances happen. We also have to acknowledge the troubles that we have as we sit here and we watch all the money that goes around the NCAA tournament, and then we watch student athletes who we celebrate their achievements prohibited from being able to write a book as a philosophy major would be able to profit from. We prohibit them from being able to host a summer camp in the sport that they know and love and make any profit from it. Unlike any other student on campus, our college athletes are told they cannot profit from their name, image, or likeness. There was a hashtag as the NCAA tournament started, not NCAA property. It should be concerning that we have college athletes
representing our state, out there making these achievements, that they feel a need that they have to point out that they are not NCAA property, because you might mistake them for NCAA property. Because the NCAA can put their face on a commercial. The institutions can profit from that name, that image, that likeness, to sell tickets, to bring in sponsors, but not a dollar can go directly to that student athlete whose name, whose image, whose likeness has been taken from them for profit. Nowhere else in the college system do we see this. We only see it in college athletics. And what's troubling about it is the fact that so many student athletes will only be able to profit from their name, image, likeness in these sports during those college years, particularly female athletes. Everybody was excited to get to the back of the Senate chamber to congratulate Megan Gustafson when she came here after putting an amazing college career together. But we all know that Megan Gustafson's name, image, and likeness here in the state of Iowa was never going to hit a higher watermark than that moment, the capstone of her college career. As we look at the achievements of our student athletes and the things that they are doing in this state, we also should listen to them. And this past year, I appreciate Senator Zahn working with me as we listened to athletes that came to us with their concerns. Jordan Bohannon in particular has done an amazing amount of work to talk with other student athletes about this issue. But the conversations have been from athletes across the board. I appreciate Caitlin Clark herself getting involved in this discussion. I appreciate Senator Whitfer for meeting with student athletes. We had Dylan Bowles from the University of Northern Iowa in that meeting. We had Spencer Petras, the quarterback at the University of Iowa, as part of that meeting. Luca Garza has participated in these meetings. These athletes are telling us something. And you know what they're telling us? It's that this system is unfair. And we have an opportunity to do something about it. And I hope we take that opportunity as we close in on the second final deadline, because we have a bill that is moving this process to address this problem. And what's great about these student athletes that I just mentioned is that most of them know they will never directly benefit from us making this change. It's the athletes that will come after them, that they are seeking to protect in this system. So absolutely, we should be proud of our student athletes and our schools and the things they are doing, but also, let's remember to do our part to protect them and to stand up for their rights. Thank you.
For what purpose does the Senator from Polk, Senator Trone Garrett, seek the floor?
Am I in order for a point?
You are in order.
Thank you. Today, I'd like to take a moment to honor three Iowans who have really stepped up to help their neighbors. Todd Brady, who's the creator of Vaccine Hunter website, Brian Finley, the creator of the Iowa Vaccine Alerts on Twitter, and Brooke Johnson, creator of Iowa Vaccine Updates website. But all three of these people responded to the frustration they heard from their neighbors as they tried to navigate a very confusing online registration system. They helped so many Iowans find vaccine appointments and gave them hope after a very long and difficult year. And there are so many more out there who I don't know their names, who've helped countless neighbors, those religious communities that stepped up, community groups, organizations, who've been working hard to connect their neighbors to the vaccine and make sure that they can get there. But it didn't have to be this way. The pandemic in the early days shone a light on some of the failures of our existing systems. The inequities, the lack of accessibility, the isolation and lack of community that so many of our neighbors experience. Unfortunately, our state's vaccine rollout, with its decentralized, scattered process and reliance on individual online signups, only exacerbated these issues, leaving many of our most vulnerable neighbors at the back of the line. Our state legislator had the opportunity to act to make this a priority, but we were distracted by other things. But the pandemic is not over. We have the opportunity to make sure our public health system has the resources to attend to the impacts of COVID, impacts that will continue for years to come. And may we take the time to look at our COVID response with unvarnished honesty and learn from this experience so that we can do better for the people of Iowa. Thank you.
For what purpose does the Senator from Polk, Senator Bisk, now seek the floor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Am I in order for a point?
You are in order.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, I am very happy that Senator Zumbaugh brought up the tragedy of yesterday. But it cannot go through this body with just an announcement in our thoughts and prayers. These are people. These are Iowans. These are our employees. And yesterday, of course, it's an aberration for death. But it is not an aberration in our prison system for attacks and injury on our employees. There are employees. Those of you who have businesses here, you've got employees. These are your employees. You, when you signed on to this, you signed on to the responsibility of helping to run the state of Iowa. And yesterday we failed. And we failed not because of an individual incident, because, as it's been said, they are bad dudes. It failed because we aren't prepared. We aren't prepared in the numbers we need to protect the people inside, which are employees, and the prisoners. They are all wards of the state who are held in those institutions. We lost a nurse. Okay, you hear about prison guards, but there are people working with these prison guards that are support staff, psychologists and sociologists and interpreters and everything that you would think that's probably in an institution, a school, is in the prison. And we can't let it continue. I've been here a number of years, and I've been here when tragedies have struck while we sat in this chamber. Sometimes we are a little less motivated than others. Infrastructure is a tough thing to fund, just like at your home. Well, it's not sexy, it's not glamorous, but it's necessary. The infrastructure is necessary that we keep strong. Senator Garrett, you chair the Justice Appropriation. We haven't even got targets. So we are fresh babies in this session to set priorities and to protect the people in this state and the people working for the state of Iowa. Today's the day to grieve for those families, with those families. But if we do the traditional thing, and that's move on to the next issue, that's really the tragedy. Because the death is a person, a family's been affected when you go to work, and as we do, and our staff, and you go home at night, your kids hug your leg, you talk about what happened, you have dinner, you go on the next day. The faith that we go on every single day as a human being, not to be harmed and be able to return in peace and safety, is very fragile. It's very, very fragile. Sudden deaths, accidents. This could be prevented with staffing to protect our employees and the people inside. We've taken away some of those rights when we did collective bargaining and we took out the mandatory safety committee and labor management meetings that brought these issues forward. And I know that you hear AFSCME talking about understaff. Listen to the message. Don't judge based on the messenger. Don't judge based on previous activity and preconceived notions. Judge it, as Senator Zumbaugh said today, his family works there. Brings it a little closer. I don't know who else's family may work at a prison or an institution. But we have someone right here in our chamber that there could have been an announcement yesterday that it was them. his family. And it would hurt, and it would cause us, because we're so close, to deal with it a little bit more. But we don't know the names of these people. I don't. They're just two people. One's a nurse, one's a guard. They got up and they went to work, and they didn't make it home. We can do something. Senator Garrett, please, with Senator Zumbaugh sitting next to you, look at him and say, it could have been you, Senator. Could have been your family. Thank God it wasn't. But we're going to do what we can this year. We're not going to solve all the problems of the state of Iowa this year. We never do, and we never can. But we're going to try. I just want to say that the Senate tried. We tried to get that nurse and that prison guard home safe. That's what our job is to do. Their job is to keep prisoners in the institution and safe from each other, and the guards and the support staff to be as safe as your wife who walks into a hospital and goes to work today, or a teacher who goes to school today, because there are bad dudes. But we can do something about that to show the respect to these families, and that we truly care about the people we hire and the people that we have responsibility for. Thank you, Mr. President.
For what purpose does the senator from Jefferson, Senator Dickey, seek the floor?
May I make a point, Mr. President?
You are in order.
Thank you very much. Appreciate Senator Bolton's comments, and I'm sure his recognition to all of our state basketball programs. He inadvertently probably did not intend to, but he left out the accomplishments of our state wrestlers this past weekend. David Carr from Iowa State University won a national championship. Spencer Lee from University of Iowa won his third. And the University of Iowa men's wrestling team won another national championship. So congratulations to all of them for their hard works.
For what purpose does the senator from Scott, Senator Knoyer, seek the floor?
For a point?
You're in order.
I wasn't going to get up and say anything today, but the senator from Polk, Senator Bolton, made some comments about women's sports, and I just want to address those and add to the conversation. I was a four-sport athlete in high school, and 30 years ago, nobody really cared about girls' sports. It was all about football and boys' stuff. You never read about us on the news, regardless of how successful we were when we played sports. And I was excited. I was one of those people that was proud to meet Megan Gustafson when she came to the Senate. It was a very exciting time for me, and she was certainly someone that we could all look up to, and when to see little girls walk up to her and see what they could do. But her career did not reach its pinnacle in 2019. She still plays basketball for the WNBA, and I hate that that's a news flash in this chamber, but she wears number 10 for the Dallas Wings. The same number that was retired from the University of Iowa when she played there. So I wanted to point that out, that her career is still going on. Also wanted to point out that the women's basketball team beat Kentucky yesterday, so they're still in the tournament, and there's a lot to cheer for. They had a pretty resounding victory yesterday over Kentucky, and I follow them on Twitter, and I'm just so impressed by, they not only celebrate their own success, but they celebrate everyone else's. When Spencer Lee and the Iowa wrestling team won the national championship, they were on Twitter congratulating them. When the men's basketball team tapped out of the tournament, they were on there showing their support for what happened in Luca Garza's wonderful career at Iowa. But the fact that this was brought up made me think about something I saw on Twitter the other day from Muffin McGraw. Muffet McGraw is the head coach of the women's basketball program at Notre Dame. And I'm not going to say it any better than she did, so I'm going to read her Twitter post. Quote, "While I appreciate the outrage, the fact that there's a huge disparity between men and women's sports is hardly breaking news. We have been fighting this battle for years, and frankly, I'm tired of it. Tired of turning on the TV to see NCAA basketball tournament, only to realize that that, of course, just means men's. Tired of seeing Twitter accounts called March Madness and Final Four that are run by the NCAA but only cover men's basketball. Tired of having to preface everything with what we do with the word women's, which would be fine if the men had to do the same thing, but they don't. And when they don't do it, it makes us look like the JV tournament to their event. The fact that there's inequities in facilities, food, fan attendance, and swag bags is not what bothers me. What bothers me is that no one on the NCAA's leadership team even noticed. While corporations across the country are scrambling to hire women and set up diversity and inclusion teams, the NCAA had an opportunity to highlight how sport can be a place where we don't just talk about equality, we put it on display. To say they dropped the ball would be an understatement of the century. This is the issue that women have been battling for decades. We have accepted our fate for far too long. We have taken the crumbs from the table we don't even have a seat at, and we didn't complain. We were happy to be there. After winning a national championship, we didn't proudly present a big check to our university. We got a pat on the back and a way to go, girl. Well, time's up, gentlemen. The generation of women, this generation of women, expects more, and we won't stop until we get it. So I appreciate the support, but and we've come a long way. We celebrated our 100th anniversary of the our right to vote last year, and we've come a long way since Title IX in 1973, but we have a long way to go, and that I'll conclude my remarks with that because I can't say more than what Coach McGraw said, but thank you, Mr. President.
For what purpose does the Senator from Polk, Senator Bolton, seek the floor?
For a point.
You're in order.
My apologies for rising a second time, but I do want to extend my remarks and thank a couple of senators for speaking on this topic as well. When it comes to college athletics, this is absolutely a critical time. It really is, and I appreciate the pointing out Megan Guffson was able to continue her career. Absolutely, the WNBA is something that we should all be proud of, that we have an athlete that is succeeding at that level. But the reality is the disparity between the NBA and WNBA is incredible. And the reality is that Megan Guffson's name, image, likeness, marketability was still at its high point as a successful college athlete. And I appreciate Senator Dickey mentioning our wrestlers. When we look at wrestling as a sport, very few wrestlers go on to professional achievement in that field. When we talk about name, image, likeness, marketability, when we have an All-American wrestler at UNI like we had this year, we have national champion wrestlers as a team and as individuals at the University of Iowa, this is the moment that those college athletes have to profit from their name, image, likeness. So I appreciate those additional remarks on this topic. This is a major deal. It is a huge equalizer in terms of gender equity in sport, in racial equity in sport, and it is an opportunity that we can take up this year. So I want to thank my colleagues for mentioning that, and I hope to work with them as we pursue corrections to these problems. Thank you.
Seeing no other senator seeking the floor, the chair recognizes Senator from Polk, Senator Whitford.
Thank you, Mr. President. Upon adjournment, Republicans will caucus in room 22, and I move the Senate adjourn until Wednesday, March 25th at 9 a.m.
You have heard the motion from the Senator from Polk, Senator Whitford. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The motion prevails. The Senate will be adjourned until Thursday, March 25th at 9 a.m.